हरिः ॐ सहनौ भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, Chapter 4, Sanatana Goswami visits the Lord at Jagannath Puri, Pratigya. It is the characteristic of a devotee to observe and protect the Vaishnava etiquette. Adhyaya Prakashita. The fourth chapter is summarized by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Pravaha Bhashya as follows. Srila Sanatana Goswami came alone from Mathura to Jagannath Puri to sleep Lord Chaitanya. Because of bathing in bad water and not getting enough food every day while traveling on the path through Jharkhanda, Jharkhand forest, he developed a disease that made his body itch. Suffering greatly from this itching, he resolved that in the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would throw himself under the wheel of Jagannath's cart and in this way commit suicide. When Sanatana Goswami came to Jagannath Puri, he stayed under the care of Haridas Thakur for some time, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to see him. The Lord informed Sanatana Goswami about the death of his younger brother, Anupa, who had great faith in the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Sanatana Goswami, "Your decision to commit suicide is the result of the mode of ignorance. One cannot get love of God simply by committing suicide. You have already dedicated your life and body to my service. Therefore, your body does not belong to you, nor do you have any right to commit suicide. I have to execute many devotional services through your body. I want you to preach the cult of devotional service and go to Vrindavan to excavate the lost holy places." After having thus spoken, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, and Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami had many talks about this subject. One day, Sanatana Goswami was summoned by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who wanted him to come to Yameshwara Tota. Sanatana Goswami reached the Lord through the path along the beach by the sea. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sanatana Goswami which way he had come, Sanatana replied, "Many servitors of Lord Jagannath come and go on the path by the Simhadwara gate of Jagannath Temple. Therefore, I did not go by that path, but instead went by the beach." Sanatana Goswami did not realize that there were burning blisters on his feet because of the heat of the sand. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased to hear about Sanatana Goswami's great respect for the temple of Lord Sri Jagannath. Because his disease produced wet sores on his body, Sanatana Goswami used to avoid embracing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But nevertheless, the Lord would embrace him by force. This made Sanatana Goswami very unhappy, and therefore he consulted Jagannanda Pandit about what he should do. Jagannanda advised him to return to Vrindavan after the car festival of Jagannath. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about this instruction, he chastised Jagannanda Pandit and reminded him that Sanatana Goswami was senior to him and was more learned. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed Sanatana Goswami that because Sanatana was a pure devotee, the Lord was never inconvenienced by his bodily condition. Because the Lord was a sannyasi, he did not consider one body better than another. The Lord also informed that he was maintaining Sanatana. And other devotees, just like a father. Therefore, the moisture oozing from Sanatana's itching skin did not affect the Lord at all. After speaking with Sanatana Goswami in this way, the Lord again embraced him. And after this embrace, Sanatana Goswami became free from disease. The Lord ordered Sanatana Goswami to stay with him for that year. And the next year, after seeing the Rath Yatra festival, he left Purushottam Kshetra and returned to Vrindavan. After meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Rupa Goswami also returned to Bengal, where he remained for 1 year. Whatever money he owned, he distributed among his relatives, the Brahmins and the temples. In this way, he completely retired and returned to Vrindavan to meet Sanatana Goswami. After narrating this incident, Krishnadas Kaviraj has given a list of the main books of Sanatana Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami. Shloka Anusharana, verses 1 to 104. Srila Sanatana Goswami plans to leave his body in Jagannath Puri. 105 to 213. The pastimes of Srila Sanatana Goswami and the Lord in Puri. 214 to 239. The accomplishments of Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and Jiva Goswami. Verses 1 to 104, Srila Sanatana Goswami plans to leave his body in Jagannath Puri. 3, 4, 1 through 63. When Sanatana Goswami returned from Vrindavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu affectionately saved him from his determination to commit suicide. Then, after testing him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu purified his body. Our glories to Lord Chaitanya, our glories to Lord Nityananda, our glories to Advaita Chandra, and all glories to all the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Srila Rupa Goswami returned from Jagannath Puri to Bengal, Sanatana Goswami went from Mathura to Jagannath Puri to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sanatana Goswami walked alone on the path of the Jayakanda forest in central India. Sometimes he fasted and sometimes he would eat. Because of bad water in the Jayakanda forest and because of fasting, Sanatana Goswami contracted a disease that made his body itch. Thus, he was afflicted with itching sores of which fluid oozed. In disappointment, Sanatana Goswami considered, I am of a low caste and my body is useless for devotional service. When I go to Jagannath Puri, I shall not be able to see Lord Jagannath, nor shall I always be able to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have heard that the residential quarters of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are near the Jagannath, temple of Jagannath, but I shall not have the power to go near the temple. The servants of Lord Jagannath generally move about, tending to their duties. If they touch me, I shall be an offender. Therefore, if I sacrifice this body in a good place, my unhappiness will be mitigated, and I shall attain an exalted destination. During the Rath Yatra festival, when Lord Jagannath comes out of the temple, I shall give up this body under the wheel of his car. After seeing Lord Jagannath, I shall give up my body under the wheel of the car in the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This will be the highest benediction of my life. Having made this resolution, Sanatana Goswami went to Nilakal, where he asked directions from people and approached the residents of Haridas Thakur. He offered his respects to the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur, who knew him and thus embraced him. Sanatana Goswami was very eager to see the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, Haridas Thakur said, the Lord is coming here very soon. At that moment, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after visiting the temple of Jagannath, to see the offering of Upala Bhoga, morning refreshments, came with his other devotees to see Haridas Thakur. Seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, both Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami immediately fell flat like rods to offer obeisances. The Lord then lifted Haridas and embraced him. Haridas Thakur said to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, here is Sanatana Goswami offering his obeisances. Seeing Sanatana Goswami, the Lord was greatly surprised. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came forward to embrace him, Sanatana Goswami backed away and spoke as follows. My Lord, please do not touch me. I fall at your lotus feet. I am the lowest of men, having been born of a low caste. Besides that, I have infections on my body. Right, so even just his own position, he's thinking, it's not enough, appropriate that the Lord touch him. And then he says, on top of that, I have infections on the side of my body. Or beside that, yeah. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, embraced Sanatana Goswami by force. Thus, the moisture oozing from the itching sores touched the transcendental body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord introduced all the devotees to Sanatana Goswami, who offered his respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of them all. The Lord and his devotees sat on a raised platform, and below that sat Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired from Sanatana about news of his well-being. Sanatana replied, "Everything is auspicious because I have seen the Lord's feet." When the Lord asked about all the Vaishnavas at Mathura, Sanatana Goswami informed him of their good health and fortune. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed Sanatana Goswami, "Srila Rupa Goswami was here for 10 months. He left for Bengal just 10 days ago. Your brother Anupam is now dead. He was a very good devotee who had firm conviction in Raghunath, Lord Ramachandra." Sanatana Goswami said, "I was born in a low family, for my family commits all kinds of irreligious acts that violate the scriptural injunctions. My Lord, without hatred for my family, you have accepted me as your servant. Only by your mercy is there good fortune in my family. From the very beginning of his childhood, a younger brother, Anupam, was a great devotee of Raghunath, Lord Ramachandra, and he worshipped him with great determination. He always chanted the holy name of Raghunath and meditated on him. He continuously heard about the activities of the Lord from the Ramayana and chanted about them. Rupa and I are his elder brothers. He stayed with us continuously. He heard Srimad Bhagavatam and talks about Lord Krishna with us. And both of us examined him. Dear Vallabha," we said, "please hear from us. Lord Krishna is supremely attractive. His beauty, sweetness, and pastimes of love are without limit. Engage yourself in devotional service to Krishna with the two of us. We three brothers shall stay together and enjoy discussing the pastimes of Lord Krishna." In this way, we spoke to him again and again. Because of this persuasion and his respect for us, his mind turned somewhat towards our instructions. Vallabha replied, "My dear brothers, how can I disobey your orders? Initiate me into the Krishna mantra so that I may perform devotional service to Lord Krishna." After saying this, at night he began to think, "How shall I give up the lotus feet of Lord Raghunath?" He stayed up all night and cried. In the morning he came to us and submitted the following plea: "I have sold my head at the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra. I cannot take it away. That would be too painful for me. The two of you, please be merciful to me and order me in such a way that life after life I may serve the lotus feet of Lord Raghunath. It is impossible for me to give up the lotus feet of Lord Raghunath. When I even think of giving them up, my heart breaks." Upon hearing this, we each embraced him and encouraged him by saying, "You are a great saintly devotee, but your determination and devotional service is fixed." In this way, we praised him. "My dear Lord, the family upon which you bestow even a little mercy is always fortunate, for such mercy makes all miseries disappear." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "There was a similar incident concerning Murari Gupta. Formerly, I examined him, and his determination was similar. Glorious is that devotee who does not give up the shelter of his Lord, and glorious is that Lord who does not abandon his servant. If by chance a servant falls down and goes somewhere else, glorious is that master who captures him and brings him back by the hair. It is very good that you have arrived here. Now stay in this room with Haridas Thakur. Both of you are expert in understanding the mellows of Lord Krishna's devotional service. Therefore, you should both continue relishing the taste for such activities and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra." Having said this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up and left. And through Govinda, he sent prasadam for them to eat. In this way, Sanatana Goswami stayed under the care of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would see the wheel on the pinnacle of the Jagannath temple and offer respectful obeisances. Every day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go there to meet those two stalwart devotees and discuss topics of Krishna with them for some time. The offerings of prasad in the temple of Lord Jagannath were of the highest quality. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would bring this prasad and deliver it to the two devotees. One day, when the Lord came to meet them, he suddenly began speaking to Sanatana Goswami. "My dear Sanatana," he said, "if I could attain Krishna by committing suicide, I would certainly give up millions of bodies without a moment's hesitation. You should know that one cannot attain Krishna simply by giving up the body. Krishna is attainable by devotional service. There is no other means for attaining him. Acts such as suicide are influenced by the mode of ignorance. And in ignorance and passion, one cannot understand who Krishna is. Unless one discharges devotional service, one cannot awaken one's dormant love for Krishna. And there is no means for attaining him other than awakening that dormant love. The Supreme Personality Godhead, Krishna, said, "My dear Uddhava, neither through Ashtanga Yoga, the mystic yoga system for controlling the senses, nor through impersonal monism or an analytical study of the absolute truth, nor through study of the Vedas, nor through austerities, charity, or acceptance of sannyas, can one satisfy me as much as by developing unalloyed devotional service unto me." Footnote 54. This verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam 11:14-20. Measures like suicide are causes for sin. Devotee never achieves shelter at Krishna's lotus feet by such actions. Because of feelings of separation from Krishna, an exalted devotee sometimes wants to give up his life. By such ecstatic love, however, one attains the audience of Krishna, and at that time he cannot give up his body. One who is deeply in love with Krishna cannot tolerate separation from the Lord. Therefore, such a devotee always desires his own death. Or lotus-eyed one, great personalities like Lord Shiva desire to bathe in the dust of your lotus feet to drive away ignorance. If I do not get the mercy of your lordship, I shall observe vows to reduce the duration of my life, and thus I shall give up bodies from hundreds of births if it is possible to get your mercy in that way. End quote. Srila Prabhupada. This verse was spoken by Rukmini Devi in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:52-43. Rukmini Devi, the daughter of King Bhishmaka, had heard about Krishna's transcendental attributes, and thus she desired to get Krishna as her husband. Unfortunately, her elder brother Rukmi was envious of Krishna and therefore wanted her to be offered to Shishupala. When Rukmini became aware of this, she was greatly aggrieved. Thus she wrote Krishna a confidential letter, which was presented and read to him by a Brahmana messenger. This verse appeared in that letter. 3464. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then quoted, "O dear Krishna, by your smiling glances and melodious talks, you awakened a fire of lusty desire in our hearts. Now you should extinguish that fire with a stream of nectar from your lips by kissing us. Kindly do this. Otherwise, dear friend, the fire within our hearts will burn our bodies to ashes because of separation from you. Thus, by meditation, we shall claim shelter at your lotus feet." Srila Prabhupada. This verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29-35, was spoken by the gopis when they were attracted by the vibration of Krishna's flute in the moonlight of autumn. All of them, being maddened, came to Krishna, but to increase their ecstatic love, Krishna gave them moral instructions to return home. The gopis did not care for these instructions. They wanted to be kissed by Krishna, for they had come there with lusty desires to dance with him. 3465-70. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami, because the moral instructions are all nice things, what you should do and all things like that, but they already had spontaneous love for Krishna, wherein just by seeing or hearing about Krishna, they're spontaneously immediately attracted. There's no intellectual thinking, oh yes, you know, Krishna is God, I should serve, I should surrender. It was just immediate. And so therefore, all the immoral instructions that were given were just Krishna's playing with them to increase their attraction to him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami, "Give up all your nonsensical desires, for they are unfavorable for getting shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. Engage yourself in chanting and hearing. Then you will soon achieve the shelter of Krishna without a doubt. A person born in a low family is not unfit for discharging devotional service to Lord Krishna. Nor is one fit for devotional service simply because he is born in an aristocratic family of Brahmins. Anyone who takes devotional service is exalted. Whereas, a non-devotee is always condemned and abominable. Therefore, in the discharge of devotional service to the Lord, there is no consideration of the status of one's family. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is always favorable to the humble and meek. But aristocrats, learned scholars, and wealthy are always proud of their positions. Quote, one may be born in a Brahmin family and have all 12 brahminical qualities. But if in spite of being thus qualified, he is not devoted to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who has a navel shaped like a lotus, he is not as good as a chandala, who has dedicated his mind, words, activities, wealth, and life to service the Lord. Simply to take birth in a Brahmana family or to have brahminical qualities is not sufficient. One must be a pure devotee of the Lord. Thus, if a swapacha or chandala is a devotee, he delivers not only himself, but his entire family as well. Whereas a Brahmin who is not a devotee, but simply has brahminical qualifications, cannot even purify himself, what to speak of his family. Footnote 55. This verse was Srimad Bhagavatam 7, 9, 10. Among the ways of executing devotional service, the 9 prescribed duties methods are the best. These processes have great potency to deliver Krishna and ecstatic love for him. So the position one appears in, if it's used in Krishna's service, then it becomes useful. But not being engaged in Krishna's service, there is no advantage. It's not like it's a better position, technically, because you're in the material world. Whether you're in gold chains or iron chains, you're bound up. You're controlled by the modes. And it's just a matter of time before the Brahman goes down and Chandala comes up. It may take many births, but it's always going in cycle. So therefore, one should understand that the real gain in the hearing and chanting about the Lord, pastimes of the Lord, his qualities, his, you know, his associates, is the development of the attraction to pure devotional service. That's the real gain, that we're becoming purified, that we're becoming liberated, you know, that we're being elevated to the mode of goodness. These are just secondary aspects that just come along because of the primary of inquiring about the Supreme Lord. That's the only way to cross these. So one understands that if these are coming as a secondary aspect, then the primary must be so special and so powerful that just as a side thing, whatever is considered the most glorious in the material world just comes as a side benefit. It's not that important. So the good results, good effects of karma, or the results of jnana, these things people work very hard for, but somebody just performing devotional service, these just come as an effect that comes along with devotional service. And so we can, one, understand this, that these things aren't actually very important, and two, how great is devotional service. So among the ways of executing devotional service, the 9 prescribed methods are the best, but these processes have great potency to deliver Krishna and ecstatic love for him. Srila Prabhupada. These 9 are hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna, offering service to Krishna's lotus feet. We're offering worship in the temple, offering prayers, working as a servant, making friendship with Krishna, and unreservedly surrendering to Krishna. These 9 processes of devotional service can grant one Krishna and ecstatic love for him. In the beginning, one has to discharge devotional service according to regular principles. But gradually, as devotional service becomes one's life and soul, one achieves the most exalted position of ecstatic love for Krishna. Right? So, we say is, but gradually, devotional service becomes one's life and soul. That's what brings one to ecstatic love. It's not a separate endeavor. It goes with. If you're working for pure devotional service, then the natural disposition comes. So there is no separate engagement. It's a matter of maturity in the devotional process. It's not another process. Ultimately, Krishna is the goal of life. One need not have taken birth in an aristocratic Brahmin family to attain the lotus feet of Krishna. Nor is a person born in a low family unfit for achieving Krishna's lotus feet. And so it's not automatic because one's from a Brahmin family, and one's not kept from that position because of a low grade family. The point is surrendered Krishna, that's the special thing. And if someone surrenders, that we can understand is Krishna's mercy. Right? So that aspect is seen there. So it's not, oh, he's from a Brahmin family, that's why he was able to advance his bhakshal service. No. It just may be, being from a Brahmin family, he understands the importance of food, sadhu, and shastra, following the processes of elevation and all these things. And so because of that, then he, with determination, applies himself to the devotional process. But still, as Krishna seeing that and being pleased, that then someone gains that service to the Lord. It's not that it comes because of aristocrat. Oh, yes, I was a seeker. I was intelligent. I was this. No, it's none of those things. 3, 4, 7, 1. It's just surrendered to the Lord under the direction of the devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu concluded, of the 9 processes of devotional service, the most important to always chant the holy name of the Lord. One does so, avoiding the 10 kinds of offenses. One very easily obtains the most valuable love of God. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhu gives the following directions in his Bhakti Sandarbha 2.70. Chanting the holy name is the chief means of attaining love of Godhead. This chanting or devotional service does not depend on any paraphernalia, nor on one's having taken birth in a good family. By humility and meekness, one attracts the attention of Krishna. That is the verdict of all the Vedas. Therefore, if one becomes very humble and meek, he can easily attain the lotus feet of Krishna in this age of Kali. That is the fulfillment of all great sacrifices, penances, and austerities. Because when one achieves ecstatic love of Godhead, he attains the complete perfection of life. Therefore, whatever one does in executing devotional service must be accompanied by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So whatever you're doing, then chanting then is the important aspect. It's the Yuga Dharma, and so then it is always chanting. So one can be doing other aspects, but the chanting is always going on. 3, 4, 72, 81. After hearing this, Sanatana Goswami was exceedingly astonished. He could understand, my decision to commit suicide has not been greatly appreciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sanatana Goswami concluded, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who knows everything, past, present, and future, has forbidden me to commit suicide. He then fell down, touching the lotus feet of the Lord, and spoke to him as follows. My Lord, you are the omniscient, merciful, and independent Supreme Lord, exactly like an instrument of wood. I dance as you make me do so. I am low-born. Indeed, I am the lowest. I am condemned, for I have all the characteristics of a sinful man. If you keep me alive, what will be the profit? Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, your body is my property. You have already surrendered unto me. Therefore, you no longer have any claim to your body. Why should you want to destroy another's property? Can't you consider what is right and wrong? Your body is my principal instrument for executing many necessary functions. By your body, I shall carry out many tasks. You shall have to ascertain the basic principles of the devotee. Devotional service. Love of Godhead. Vaishnav duties and Vaishnav characteristics. You will also have to explain Krishna's devotional service. Establish centers for cultivation of love of Krishna. Excavate lost places of pilgrimage and teach people how to adopt and renounce order. Mathura Vrindavan is my own very dear abode. I want to do many things there to preach Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to accomplish many purposes through the exegetical exegetical endeavors of Sri Sanatana Goswami. First, Sanatana Goswami compiled a book called Brihad Bhagavatamrita to teach people how to become devotees, execute devotional service, and attain love of Krishna. Second, he compiled the Hari Bhakti Vilas, when he collected authoritative scriptural injunctions regarding how a Vaishnava should behave. Only by the endeavors of Sri Sanatana Goswami were all the lost holy places of pilgrimage in Vrindavan, in the Vrindavan area, excavated. He established Madan Mohan, the first deity in the Vrindavan area, and by his personal behavior, he taught how one should act in the renounced order. Completely devoted to the service of the Lord, by his personal example, he taught people how to stay in Vrindavan to execute devotional service. The principal mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to preach Krishna consciousness. Mathura and Vrindavan are the abodes of Lord Krishna. Therefore, these two places are very dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to develop their glories through Sanatana Goswami. So we see as the point is that I want to do many things there to preach Krishna consciousness. So how to get people to the point of developing love for Krishna? And so then he's given many, many methods through which this shall be done. Right? So all these different aspects that Srila Sanatana Goswami will establish. So Lord, you can see is already the mission is being established in a formal way that through the Goswamis, then he's establishing all the various methods, all the, you know, the things so one understands, and then all the methods through which then one comes to the Krishna consciousness program, I mean platform. So the mission was given by him. Then we see is that then through the Goswamis headed by Srila Rupa Goswami, then this becomes formalized, I mean, becomes more established, more focused, or more, focused upon. Jiva Goswami formalizes it. And then like this, it comes down to the Acharyas and then given to us by Srila Prabhupada in the form of ISKCON. And so the same principle is there. Is all these things are there in some way to bring people to Krishna consciousness. That's the main thing. So he mentioned that he wanted centers for Krishna consciousness. So the temples, they were centers for Krishna consciousness. So it's very natural that temples will be centers for Krishna consciousness. The idea that, oh, we don't need temples anymore, that's an old archaic thing, you know, community is all we need and things like that. But the community centers around temples. You know, that's just the way it works. There's a huge community in Jaipur, but it's centers around the Goswami's deities, especially Govindaji. So all these things go together. They're all connected, you know, in some way to how to be. Because what's at the center? Then what is the Vaishnava? What is characteristics? What is devotional service? How to attain love for Krishna? So all those things are going on very nicely. Yes. So Lord Chaitanya is then showing that all these things are there. So this mission is there. And the mission is a group effort, but it's a group effort by individuals. And so individuals are appreciated for what they do. And it's about helping all the different individuals come up to that platform. But yeah. And then other things, you know, just everyone becoming good and nice and developing good qualities, those come just as the natural execution of devotional service and practicing the, you know, etiquettes and that of Vaishnavas, not a separate process. 3482 to 98. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. By the order of my mother, I am sitting here in Jagannath Puri. Therefore, I cannot go to Mathura Vrindavan to teach people how to live there according to religious principles. I have to do all this work through your body, but you want to give it up. How can I tolerate this? At that time, Sanatana Goswami said to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. No one can understand the deep ideas you plan within your heart. A wood doll chants and dances according to the direction of a magician, but does not know how he is dancing and singing. My dear Lord, as you cause one to dance, he dances accordingly. But how he dances and who is causing him to dance, he does not know. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said to Haridas Thakur, My dear Haridas, please hear me. This gentleman wants to destroy another's property. One who is entrusted with another's property does not distribute it or use it for his own purposes. Therefore, tell him not to do such an unlawful thing. Haridas Thakur replied, We are falsely proud of our capabilities. Actually, we cannot understand your deep intentions. Unless you inform us, we cannot understand what your purpose is or what you want to do through them. My dear sir, since you, a great personality, have accepted Sanatana Goswami, he is greatly fortunate. No one can be as fortunate as he. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced both Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami. And then got up and left to perform his new duties. My dear Sanatana, Haridas Thakur said, embracing him, no one can find the limits of your good fortune. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is accepting your body as his own property. Therefore, no one can equal you in good fortune. What Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cannot do with his personal body, he wants to do through you, and he wants to do it in Mathura. Whatever the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants us to do will successfully be accomplished. This is your great fortune. That is my mature opinion. I can understand from the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he wants you to write books about the conclusive decision, the devotional service, and about the regulative principles ascertained from the revealed scriptures. My body could not be used in the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, although it took birth in the land of India, this body has been useless. Srila Prabhupada. The special feature of a birth in India is that a person born in India becomes automatically God-conscious. In every part of India, and especially in the holy places of pilgrimage, even an ordinary, uneducated man is inclined towards Krishna consciousness. And as soon as he sees a Krishna conscious person, he offers obeisances. India has many sacred rivers, such as the Ganges, Jamuna, Narmada, Kaveri, and Krishna. And simply by bathing in these rivers, people are liberated and become Krishna conscious. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Bharata Bhumite Hoila Manusha Janmajar Janma Sartaka Kori Kara Para Upakar. One who has taken birth in the land of Bharat Bhumi, India, should take full advantage of that Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 9.1. One who has taken birth in the land of Bharat Bhumi, India, should take full advantage of his birth. He should become completely well-versed in the knowledge of the Vedas and spiritual culture and should distribute the experience of Krishna consciousness all over the world. But people all over the world are madly engaged in sense gratification, and in this way, spoiling their human lives, with the risk that in their next life they may become animals or less. Human society should be saved from such a risky civilization. The danger of animalism by awakening to God consciousness, Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness movement has been started for this purpose. Therefore, unbiased men of the highest echelon should study the principles of Krishna consciousness movement and fully cooperate with this movement to save human society. Right? So, those who were born in Bharat Varsha, so at one point, Bharat Varsha meant the whole planet. So then those on the planet, then they would naturally take up God consciousness and associate with others based on that principle. But as Kali Yuga grows or continues, then we see that Bharat Bhumi then comes down where it has to be mentioned as India. Because otherwise, the rest of the world has given up this practices of Bharat Bhumi. For, as mentioned here, are madly engaged in sense gratification, and this way spoiling their human lives. Right? So they may become animals or less in the next life. So then one can understand from this that the principles of Bharat Bhumi is meant for the whole planet, because those from Bharat Bhumi are supposed to distribute those to others, that they give up the animalistic. So the idea that, okay, the Indian culture is one culture, and in the West is just another culture. And so like that, we have all these cultures. You know, Europe has culture, America has culture, India has culture. Yeah, so many of these cultures are there. But the point is no. There's human culture, which is based on the Veda. And then there's slowly distortion from that based on sense gratification. So the point is, when one gives up the desire for sense gratification, then following the principles given by the Goswamis on how a human being should engage in life in Krishna service, then that becomes very easy. But if one maintains material attachment and one is interested in sense gratification, then of course the one will maintain material upadis, and then one will complain that, oh, this is Indian culture. But no, it's human culture. It's what's meant for the human beings. Just only in India now you see some of it left. And the rest of the world has left it for sense gratification. It's not that, oh, just God created all these different cultures and this happens to be one of them, then this is another one. But, you know, as our great, disciple of the, foolish Pujari said, you know, all paths lead back to, the foolish Pujari himself said it. All paths lead back to God. Doesn't matter what path you take. It doesn't matter. It'll all get to the same place. So we have to understand this. We're not going to be distracted by such foolishness. No, Sanatana Goswami establishes the standard. And then we see how that's been given to us, how the Acharyas are practicing. And then like that, then we try to do our best in Krishna consciousness. And if it's not up to the standard, then we understand I'm in a fallen position. That's not that, oh, I'm fallen, so therefore I can do now whatever I want. No, it's that therefore we become meek and humble. Becoming meek and humble, then we surrender to Krishna. Because that's the point. If you are meek and humble, you can surrender. But if you're proud of your position, your wealth, your education, your family position, and all these different things, then, you know, what's that there? You know, why is it that the West is considered better? On what basis? You know what I'm saying? What measurement are you using to judge it's better? It has more facility for gross sense gratification. That's what they're dedicated to. But that doesn't make it better. Because we have to know is that all these main tribes, they're mainly, you know, around this area here and in Asia and around the world, but they'll be the locals. I mean, the original people, the First Nation, you know, as some like to say. And so then others, as they come in, and they are the group that says or lower. You know, so therefore you can't compare or lower, which is lower than the 12. Uncivilized tribes, and then which are below human life. One has to know is that according to our attachment, according to our birth, then, you know, when Bhagavatam says we think the place of our birth is holy, right? We have to understand this. No, we have to give this up just nicely, as it is said here. Accept that these are the standards, and then try to imbibe these qualities. In other words, it's about the qualities that the Acharyas say and the way that the Acharyas say, not that we're just sentimental and, everybody be nice, and, oh, no, don't be so strong, or, you know, oh, yeah, we'll just raise them to the mode of goodness, you know. But the point is we're being raised to the mode of goodness because we're chanting. The karmis, how are they going to get to the mode of goodness since we try to avoid the chanting because we don't want them to know we're Hare Krishnas? Because if they know we're Hare Krishnas, they may not come to our yoga programs. And then if they don't come to our yoga programs, then it's a great loss because we don't have the numbers. because numbers are important if you view things from the corporate world. So, but the point is it's about becoming God conscious, being exposed to God consciousness. That's Lord Chaitanya's mission. And then he gave that to the Goswamis. They handed that down. Srila Prabhupada gave that to us. One who has taken birth in the land of Bharatbhumi, India, should take full advantage of his birth. He should become completely well-versed in the knowledge of the Vedas and spiritual culture, and should distribute the experience of Krishna consciousness all over the world. Right? So you're distributing the experience. That means you're exposing others to the experience of Krishna consciousness, not just the mode of goodness or a nice intellectual discussion, you know, like that. No, it's to the exposure to the experience of Krishna consciousness. People all over the world agree with all this. 3.4.99 to 103, Sanatana Goswami replied, Haridas Thakur, who is equal to you? You are one of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, you are the most fortunate. The mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for which he has descended as an incarnation, is to spread the important chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Now, instead of personally doing so, he is spreading it through you. My dear sir, you are chanting the holy name 300,000 times daily and informing everyone of the importance of such chanting. Some behave very well but do not preach the cult of Krishna consciousness, whereas others preach but do not behave properly. You simultaneously perform both duties in relation to the holy name by your personal behavior and by your preaching. Therefore, you are the spiritual master of the entire world. You are the most advanced devotee in the world. And so here, some behave very well but do not preach Krishna consciousness. Others preach but do not behave well. So those who are preaching but not behaving well, then others who are worried more about behaving well than preaching, then they're getting upset. Oh no, and who's going to want to either take part in this movement because we all behave badly, so we should all behave nicely. But in the process, then preaching doesn't really go on. So he's saying, you simultaneously perform both. So you behave nicely and you preach. Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, you are the spiritual master of the entire world. You are the most advanced devotee in the world. Srila Prabhupada. Sanatana Goswami clearly defines herein the bona fide spiritual master of the world. The qualifications expressed in this connection are that one must act according to the scriptural injunctions and at the same time preach. One who does so is a bona fide spiritual master. Haridas Thakur was the ideal spiritual master because he regularly chanted on his beads a prescribed number of times. Indeed, he was chanting the holy name of the Lord 300,000 times a day. Similarly, the members of the Krishna consciousness movement chant a minimum of 16 rounds a day, which can be done without difficulty. And at the same time, they must preach the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. According to the gospel of Bhagavad Gita, as it is, right? So that's the gospel of Bhagavad Gita as it is, not Bhagavad Gita as I'd like it or other forms of Bhagavad Gita that we dream up. One who does so is quite fit to become a spiritual master for the entire world. Because otherwise, you just say Bhagavad Gita. But he said Bhagavad Gita as it is. 3.4.104. Right, so that's the thing. Behave properly means chanting your rounds and doing things like this, not just the sentimental that someone is, you know, really nice culture. It means naturally the devotee will come to that culture platform. We're not acting culture, then we're not properly seeing how everybody and everything's connected to Krishna. But that's why you're acting culture, not because, oh, if you don't act culture, people won't like you and stuff like that. That's then a consideration of social prestige. 3.4.104. In this way, the two of them pass their time discussing subjects concerning Krishna. Thus, they enjoy life together. So that's how they spent their time, then discussing about Krishna, different aspects about Krishna, then, you know, very, very nicely. 3.4.105.123. During the time, so means it is possible that you can have discussions with others that are based on Krishna consciousness rather than just a particular mechanics of a service. Means that's also a Krishna culture because you're discussing how to improve and how to develop and how to engage in devotional service to Krishna in a practical way. But at the same time, it's also not a bad thing that one can actually discuss about the glories of devotional service and something special and wonderful in the Lord's pastimes or instructions or example of a devotee that we see in Srimad Bhagavatam and in Chaitanya Charitamrita or in Gita. That aspect is then naturally where the taste comes. That's how they enjoy life together. The other is that you have to discuss practical points at some point, but that if that's the only basis of relationship, then it becomes a little bit weak. Right? Means maybe with certain individuals you only discuss service because that's the only time you associate. But there should be some aspect where there is discussion of Krishna consciousness. Verses 105 to 213, the pastimes of Srila Sanatana Goswami and the Lord in Puri. During the time of Ratha Yatra, all the devotees arrived from Bengal to visit the Kara festival as they had done previously. During the Ratha Yatra festival, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again danced before the Kara, Jagannath. When Sanatana Goswami saw this, his mind was astonished. The Lord's devotees from Bengal stayed at Jagannath Puri during the 4 months of the rainy season, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced Sanatana Goswami to them all. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced Sanatana Goswami to these and other selected devotees. Advaitacharya, Nityananda Prabhu, Srivas Thakur, Vakreshwara Pandit, Vasudev Dutta, Murari Gupta, Raghava Pandit, Damodar Pandit, Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Parati, Srub Damodar, Gadadhar Pandit, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai, Jagadish Pandit, Jagannanda Pandit, Shankara Pandit, Kashishwar, and Govinda. The Lord asked Sanatana Goswami to offer obeisances to all the devotees in a way that befitted each one. Thus he introduced Sanatana Goswami to them all, just to make him an object of their mercy. Sanatana Goswami was dear to everyone because of his exalted qualities of learning. Because his exalted qualities of learning. So the exalted qualities are his, you know, the ornaments of the devotee, and this knowledge also it was knowledge about Krishna. And so what he knew, how depth he knew, what maturity he had. So all those aspects like that, then that was appreciated. It wasn't that, oh, he's a scholar, that's why he is appreciated. No, it's that he's a devotee of Krishna. He's fully absorbed in Krishna. And he manifests all wonderful qualities, and he has a maturity in his appreciation of Krishna. That was what was being. Suitably, therefore, they bestowed upon him mercy, friendship, and honor. When all the other devotees returned to Bengal after the Ratha Yatra festival, Sanatana Goswami stayed under the care of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sanatana Goswami observed the Dol Yatra fest ceremony with Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way, his pleasure increased in the company of the Lord. Sanatana Goswami had come to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri during the month of April, May. And during the month of May, June, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tested it. In that month of May, June, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the garden of Yameshwara, Lord Shiva, and accepted prasad there at the request of the devotees. At noon, when it was time for lunch, the Lord called for Sanatana Goswami, whose happiness increased because of the call. At noon, the sand on the beach was hot as fire, but Sanatana Goswami came by that path. Overwhelmed by joy at being called by the Lord, Sanatana Goswami did not feel that his feet were burning in the hot sand. Although the soles of his feet were blistered because of the heat, he nevertheless went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There he found that the Lord was having his lunch. And there he found that the Lord, having taken his lunch, was resting. Govinda gave Sanatana Goswami the plate, the remnants of Lord Chaitanya's food. After taking the prasadam, Sanatana Goswami approached Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When the Lord inquired, "By which path have you come?" Sanatana Goswami replied, "I have come on the path along the beach." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "How did you come along the beach where the sand is so hot?" Why didn't you come by the path in front of the Simhadwara gate? It is very cool. Srila Prabhupada, Simhadwara refers to the main gate on the eastern side of Jagannath Temple. 3:4, 124, 127. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, the hot sand must have blistered your soles. Now you cannot walk. How did you tolerate it? Sanatana Goswami replied, I did not feel much pain, but I know that there were blisters because of the heat. I have no right to pass by the Simhadwara, for the servants of Jagannath are always coming and going there. The servants are always roaming and going without interval. If I touch them, I shall be ruined. Srila Prabhupada, herein it is very clearly indicated that priests performing deity worship should be careful to keep themselves completely pure and not be touched by outsiders. Sanatana Goswami and Haridas Thakur, thinking themselves malechas and yavanas because of their past association with Muslims, did not enter the temple nor even travel on the path in front of the temple gate. It is customary for the priests of temples in India not even to touch outsiders or enter the deity room after having been touched. This is a very important item in deity worship, right? So in deity worship, you're keeping yourself very nice and clean. So you're aware of when you do the worship, you have clean clothes and all these things. So you're not touching, those from out, going out, where one may, the clothes and that may get contaminated and things like that. Or eating with the clothes that you do puja on, going to the bathroom with the clothes that you do puja on. So they're very aware of these things. And that then makes for a very nice standard in the temple worship. So Sanatana Goswami and Haridas Thakur are feeling themselves very, very lowly. Then they didn't want them to become impure by touching them. 3:4, 128, 135. Having heard all these details, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, greatly pleased, spoke as follows. My dear Sanatana, although you are the deliverer of the entire universe, and although even the demigods and great saints are purified by touching you, it is the characteristic of a devotee to observe and protect the Vaishnava etiquette. Maintenance of the Vaishnava etiquette is the ornament of the devotee. One transgresses the laws of etiquette, people make fun of him, and thus he is vanquished in both this world and the next. By observing the etiquette, you have satisfied my mind. Who else but you could show this example? After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Sanatana Goswami, and the moisture oozing from the itching sores on Sanatana's body smeared the body of the Lord. Although Sanatana Goswami repeatedly forbade Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to embrace him, the Lord still did so. Thus, his body was smeared with the moisture from Sanatana's body, and Sanatana became greatly distressed. Thus, both servant and master departed for their respective homes. The next day, Jagannanda went to meet Sanatana Goswami. Udrigi, Adi Lila 10:21-23. Pandit Jagannanda, the sixth branch of the Chaitanya tree, who was celebrated as the life and soul of the Lord. He is known to have been an incarnation of Satyabhama, one of the chief queens of Lord Krishna. Jagannanda Pandit, as an incarnation of Satyabhama, always wanted to see the comfort of Lord Chaitanya, but since the Lord was a sannyasi, he did not accept the luxuries that Jagannanda Pandit offered. They sometimes appeared to fight over trifles. These quarrels were based on their affection, of which I shall speak later. Riti, some of the quote-unquote luxuries mentioned above included a bed that Jagannanda Pandit made for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and a large container of specially scented oil he brought back from Navadvipa to the Lord. 3:4, 136-144. When Jagannanda Pandit and Sanatana Goswami sat together and began to discuss topics about Krishna, Sanatana Goswami submitted to Jagannanda Pandit the cause of his distress. I came here to dismiss my unhappiness. I came here to diminish my unhappiness by seeing Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the Lord did not allow me to execute what was in my mind. Although I forbid him to do so, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu nevertheless embraces me, and therefore his body becomes smeared with the discharges from my itching sores. In this way, I am committing offenses at his lotus feet. And from these offenses, I shall certainly not be delivered, At the same time, I cannot see Lord Jagannath. This is my great unhappiness. I came here for my benefit, but now I see that I'm getting just the opposite. I do not know, nor can I ascertain, how there will be benefit for me. Jagannanda Pandit said, the most suitable place for you is to reside in Vrindavan. After seeing the Rath Yatra festival, you can return there. The Lord has already ordered both of you brothers to situate yourself in Vrindavan. There you will achieve all happiness. Your purpose in coming has been fulfilled, for you have seen the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore, after seeing Lord Jagannath on the Rath Yatra car, you can leave. Sanatana Goswami replied, you have given me it. Very good advice. I shall certainly go there, for that is the place the Lord has given me for my residence. Srila Prabhupada. The words Prabhu Datta Desh are very significant. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotional cult teaches one not to sit down in one place, but to spread the devotional cult all over the world. The Lord dispatched Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami to Vrindavan to excavate and renovate the holy places, and from there establish the cult of bhakti. Therefore, Vrindavan was given to Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami as their place of residence. Similarly, everyone in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotional cult should accept the words of the spiritual master and thus spread the Krishna conscious movement. They should go everywhere, to all parts of the world, accepting those places as their Prabhu Datta Desh, the places of residence given by the spiritual master of Lord Krishna. Spiritual master is the representative of Lord Krishna. Therefore, one who has carried out the orders of the spiritual master is understood to have carried out the orders of Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to spread the bhakti cult all over the world. Prithivite ache jato nagaragram. Therefore, devotees in the line of Krishna consciousness must go to different parts of the world and preach, as ordered by the spiritual master. That will satisfy Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After talking in this way, Sanatana Goswami and Jagannanda Pandit returned to their respective duties. The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Sri Haridas and Sanatana Goswami. Haridas offered obeisances to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord embraced him in ecstatic love. Sanatana Goswami offered his obeisances and dandavats from a distant place. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called him again and again to embrace him. Out of fear of committing offenses, Sanatana Goswami did not come forward to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord, however, went forward to meet him. Sanatana Goswami backed away, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu caught him by force and embraced him. The Lord took them both with him and sat down in a sacred place. Then Sanatana Goswami, who was advanced in renunciation, began to speak. I came here for my benefit, he said, but I see that I'm getting just the opposite. I am unfit to render service. I am simply committing offenses day after day. By nature, I am low-born. I am a contaminated reservoir of sinful activities. You touch me, sir, that will be a great offense on my part. Moreover, blood is running from infected, itching sores on my body, smearing your body with moisture, but still you touch me by force. My dear sir, you do not have even a pinch of aversion to touching my body, which is in a horrible condition. Because of this offense, everything auspicious will be vanquished for me. Therefore, I see that I will get nothing auspicious by staying here. Kindly give me orders allowing me to return to Vrindavan after the Rath Yatra festival. I have consulted Jagannanda the Pandit for his opinion, and he has also advised me to return to Vrindavan. Hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in an angry mood, began to chastise Jagannanda Pandit. Jagannanda Pandit is only a new boy, but he has become so proud that he thinks himself competent to advise a person like you. In affairs of spiritual advancement, even in ordinary dealings, you are on the level of his spiritual master. Yet, not knowing his own value, he dares to advise you. My dear Sanatana, you are on the level of my advisor, for you are an authorized person. But Jagga wants to advise you. But this is the impudence of a naughty boy. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thus chastising Jagannanda Pandit, Sanatana Goswami fell at the Lord's feet and said, I can now understand the fortunate position of Jagadananda. I can also understand my misfortune. No one in this world is as fortunate as Jagadananda. Sir, you are making Jagadananda drink the nectar of affectionate relationships, whereas by offering me honorable prayers, you are making me drink the bitter juice of Neem and Nishinda. It is my misfortune that you have not accepted me as one of your intimate relations, but you are the complete independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was somewhat ashamed. Just to satisfy Sanatana Goswami, he spoke the following words. My dear Sanatana, please do not think that Jagadananda is more dear to me than you. However, I cannot tolerate transgressions of the standard etiquette. You are an experienced authority in the Shastras, whereas Jagat is just a young boy. You have the power to convince even me. In many places, you have already convinced me about ordinary behavior and devotional service. Jagat's advising you is intolerable to me. Therefore, I am chastising him. I offer you praise not because I think of you as being outside an intimate relationship with me, but because you are actually so qualified that one is forced to praise your qualities. Although one has affection for many persons, different types of ecstatic love awaken according to the nature of one's personal relationships. You consider your body dangerous and awful, but I think that your body is like nectar. Actually, your body is transcendental, never material. You are thinking of it, however, in terms of a material conception. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives his opinion about how a person completely engaged in the service of the Lord transforms his body from material to transcendental. He says, a pure devotee engaged in service of Lord Krishna has no desire for his personal sense gratification, and thus he never accepts anything for that purpose. He desires only the happiness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Because of his ecstatic love for Krishna, he acts in various ways. Karmis think that the material body is an instrument for material enjoyment, and that is why they work extremely hard. A devotee, however, has no such desires. A devotee always engages wholeheartedly in the service of the Lord, forgetting about bodily conceptions and bodily activities. The body of a karmi is called material because the karmi, being too absorbed in material activities, is always eager to enjoy material facilities. But the body of a devotee who tries his best to work very hard for the satisfaction of Krishna by fully engaging in the Lord's service must be accepted as transcendental. Whereas karmis are interested only in personal satisfaction of their senses, devotees work for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, one who cannot distinguish between devotion and ordinary karma may mistakenly consider the body of a pure devotee material. One who knows does not commit such a mistake. Non-devotees who consider devotional activities and ordinary material activities to be on the same level are offenders to the chanting of the transcendental holy name of the Lord. Yeah, because these activities mechanically look the same. The origin is the same in the Shastra. But the point is the Shastra is giving recommendation, since the material world is for the purpose of going back to Godhead, that means the Shastra recommendations are for bringing you to that point of going back to Godhead. And then of that, those who have the advantage of the pure devotees, the association, then they can take those activities that will directly bring one to that platform. A pure devotee knows that a devotee's body, being always transcendental, is just suitable for rendering service to the Lord. A devotee on the topmost platform of devotional service always humbly thinks that he is not rendering any devotional service. He thinks that he is poor in devotional service and his body is material. On the other hand, those known as sahajiyas foolishly think that their material bodies are transcendental. Because of this, they are always bereft of the association of pure devotees, and thus they cannot behave like Vaishnavas. Observing the defects of the Sahajiyas, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung as follows in his book, Kalyana Kalpa Taru. Amita Vaishnava e buddhi haile, amani na hava ami. Pratishthasa ashi, pridaya dushtibe, haiba niraya gami. Nije shreshta jani, uchishtari dane, habe abhimana bhara. Tai shishyatava, takiya sarvada, na laiba puja kara. If I think I am a Vaishnava, I shall look forward to receiving respect from others. And if the desire for fame and reputation moves my heart, certainly I shall go to hell. By giving others the remnants of my food, I shall consider myself superior and shall be burdened with the weight of false pride. Therefore, always remaining your surrendered disciple, I shall not accept worship from anyone else. End quote. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has written, Antyalila 20:28. Premera swabhava, jaha premera sambandha, se mane Krishna mora nahi prema gandha. Whenever there is a relationship of love of Godhead, the natural symptoms are that the devotee does not think himself a devotee, but always thinks that he has not even a drop of love for Krishna. 3, 4, 174, 176. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, even if your body were material, I still could not neglect it, for the material body should be considered neither good nor bad. Anything not conceived in relation to Krishna should be understood to be illusion, maya. None of the illusions uttered by words or conceived in the mind are factual. Because illusion is not factual, there is no distinction between what we think is good and what we think is bad. When we speak of the absolute truth, such speculations do not apply. 56. The quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 11:28.4. Right, so when we speculate this is good, that's bad. The point is no. What is the service to the Lord? Right, so when we see things in connection with the Lord, because of this world, things are good in their connection with Krishna, and things are not good when they are not connected to Krishna. That's where good and bad comes out. In the material world, conceptions of good and bad are all mental speculations. Therefore, saying, quote, this is good and this is bad is all a mistake. Srila Prabhupada. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the absolute truth, ever existing with different varieties of energies. When one is absorbed in the illusory energy of Krishna and cannot understand Krishna, one cannot understand what is good for him and what is bad. Conceptions of good and bad are all imaginations or mental speculations. When one forgets that he is an eternal servant of Krishna, he wants to enjoy the material world through different plans. At that time, he distinguishes between material plans that are good and those that are bad. Actually, however, they are all false. Because good or bad means it's based on what will be he'll be comfortable with or how he'll enjoy or things like that. So on the material platform, then there's no advantage. Point is it's all being arranged by Krishna. It's his energies. So therefore, how in a particular situation you can serve Krishna, that's the good part. It's not that the situation is good or bad. You know, it's not that we sit around and going, it's better to be in the cage with all the elephants stepping on you than, you know, in the one with all the snakes trying to bite you. No, no, no. But I think, you know, being thrown off the mountain is a much better consideration. You know, this is useless. It's just whatever situation you're in, you remember Krishna. 3, 4, 177, 179. Because if it's not seen in connection with Krishna, that's what's illusion. That's what Krishna says in the second verse of Chaturshloki. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, the humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahmin, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. 57. This is a quotation from Bhagavad Gita 5:18. One who is fully satisfied in knowledge obtained and practically applied in life, who is always determined and fixed in his spiritual position, who completely controls the senses, and who sees pebbles, stones, sees pebbles, stones, and gold on the same level, is understood to be a perfect yogi. 58. This is a quotation from the Bhagavad Gita, 6:8. Since I am in the renounced order, my duty is to make no distinctions and be equal poised. My knowledge must be equally disposed towards sandalwood pulp and dirty mud. Srila Prabhupada. It is the duty of a sannyasi, a person in the renounced order, to be always equal poised. And that is also the duty of a learned man and a Vaishnava, right? So the sannyasi, the person who's learned, you know, actually learned, and the devotee, right? A Vaishnava sannyasi or a learned person has no conception of the material world. In other words, he has no conception of anything materially important. And so there's nothing that's important in the material world for all these. So for all the devotees, they're seeing on this platform. It's use in Krishna's service, that's the value. Other than that, it doesn't have a value. He has no desire to use sandalwood pulp for sense gratification. Nor does sense gratification make him hate mud. Acceptance or rejection of material things is not the concern of a sannyasi, a Vaishnava, or a learned person. An advanced devotee has no desire to enjoy or reject anything. His only duty is to accept whatever is favorable for the advancement of Krishna consciousness. A Vaishnava should be indifferent to material enjoyment and renunciation. And should always hanker for the spiritual life of rendering service before. So that's it makes it simple. You have a simple, everything you're going to measure. So on the material platform, you're going to look at what's going to be good for my sense gratification, either immediately or in the future. You know, and that can include who I consider within my circle that they're enjoying or also enjoy. But the point is it's based on the material benefit. Well, the spiritual consciousness then is Krishna consciousness. How is it going to be pleasing to Krishna? And so it's a simple, straightforward method of checking. But just one is mundane and one is perfect in Krishna consciousness. 3:4, 180 to 184. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu concluded, "For this reason, I cannot reject you. If I hated you, I would deviate from my occupational duty." Haridas said, "My dear Lord, what you have spoken deals with external formalities. I do not accept it. My Lord, we are all fallen, but you have accepted us due to your attribute of being merciful to the fallen. This is well known all over the world." Lord Chaitanya smiled and said, "Listen, Haridas and Sanatana, now I am speaking the truth about how my mind is attracted to you. My dear Haridas and Sanatana, I think of you as my little boys, to be maintained by me. The maintainer never takes seriously any faults of the maintained." Srila Prabhupada, when a father maintains a child, the child is maintained by the father. The father never takes seriously the faults of the child. Even if they actually are faults, the father does not mind them. 3:4, 185, 191. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. "I always think of myself as deserving no respect, but because of affection, I always consider you to be like my little children. When a child passes stool and urine that touches the body of the mother never hates the child. On the contrary, she takes much pleasure in cleansing it. The stool and urine of the maintained child appear like sandalwood pulp to the mother. Similarly, when the foul moisture oozing from the source of Sanatana touches my body, I have no hatred for him." Haridas Thakur said, "My dear sir, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. and are most merciful towards us. No one can understand what is within your deeply affectionate heart. You embraced the leper Vasudeva, whose body was fully infected by worms. You are so kind that in spite of this condition, you embraced him. By embracing him, you made his body as beautiful as that of Cupid. We cannot understand the waves of your mercy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the body of a devotee is never material. It is considered to be transcendental, full of spiritual bliss. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to convince Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami that a devotee whose life is dedicated to the service of the Lord is never in the material conception, because he always engages in the service of the Lord. His body is transcendental and full of spiritual bliss. One should never consider his body material, just as one should never consider the body of the deity worshipped in the temple to be made of stone or wood. Factually, the deity is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without doubt. The injunctions of the Padma Purana therefore state, Arjye Vishnau Shiladhir Gurushu Nara Matir Vaishnave Jati Gudhi Yasyaba Naraki Saha. That person is a resident of hell who considers the deity worshipped in the temple to be stone or wood, who considers the spiritual master an ordinary man, and who thinks that the body of a Vaishnava, fully dedicated to the service of the Lord, belongs to the material modes of nature. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, at the time of initiation, when a devotee fully surrenders under the service of the Lord, Krishna accepts him to be as good as himself. When the devotee's body is thus transformed into spiritual existence, the devotee in that transcendental body renders service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Quote, the living entity who is subjected to birth and death attains immortality when he gives up material activities, dedicates his life to the execution of my order, and acts according to my directions. So we have the point here is that he gives up all material activities, dedicates his life to executing the order, and acts according to the directions. So he gives up the material, surrenders to the Lord, and then acts according to the Lord's will. Right? In this way, he becomes fit to enjoy the spiritual bliss derived from exchanging loving mellows with me. Right? Then you can have that exchange with the Lord. You know, so giving up material activities, dedicating one's life, and acting according to the directions. So the point of that is to come to be qualified that one can therefore exchange loving mellows with Krishna. So one should be very careful about trying to avoid those things, you know, personally, so that they don't allow you to take these things up, give up material activities, dedicate your life, or follow the instructions of the Lord. One has to see is that these elements should be intact. Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 11:29-34. At the time of initiation, a devotee gives up all his material conceptions. Therefore, being in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is situated on the transcendental platform. Thus, having attained knowledge and the spiritual platform, he always engages in the service of the spiritual body of Krishna. When one is freed from material connections in this way, his body immediately becomes spiritual, and Krishna accepts his service. However, Krishna does not accept anything from a person with a material conception of life. When a person means material conception, means you see that work, do the work that you get a benefit that brings you, something related to the senses for sense enjoyment. That's then a materially a conception of life. But when you think is no, I act in these situations as recommended by Krishna and the Acharyas for pleasing Krishna and the Acharyas, then that's spiritual. Even though it may mechanically be the same thing as what the Karmi is doing. But he's doing it to please Krishna, while the Karmi is doing it to please their senses. When a devotee no longer has any desire for material sense gratification, in his spiritual identity, engages in service in the service of the Lord, for his dormant spiritual consciousness awakens. Right, so his spiritual identity means that I am servant to the Lord. That's the primary aspect of the identity. Particular details then are which realm, what particular relationship, what particular service, like that. And so many details of that. But the principle, it starts with, I am servant. If that's not there, don't worry about the rest of it. Right? You know, it's just like, if you haven't put the vegetables in the pot, I wouldn't be so worried about what spicings are in there and everything like that. You know, if I'm getting that right, I put the vegetables in the pot. Then we can talk spicing. Right? This awakening of Krishna consciousness makes his body spiritual. Thus, it becomes fit to render service to the Lord. Karmis may consider the body of a devotee material, but factually, it is not. For a devotee has no conception of material enjoyment. One thinks that the body of a pure devotee is material. He is an offender, for that is a Vaishnava aparada. In this connection, one should consult Srila Sanatana Goswami Priya Bhagavatamrita 1345 and 2319, Udriti, translations of the above verses, Their forms, already eternal and full of knowledge and bliss, the devotees there do not worship Lord Krishna to attain eternity, knowledge of bliss, or opulence equal to his. But so already they're on the spiritual platform because of their full surrender to the Lord, so they don't perform any activities or worship the Lord to gain any of these things. They only worship the Lord to please the Lord. It should not be thought that the activities of devotional service are like other activities. It should not be said with external vision that a devotee's body or possessions are like anything else. Right, so we may see is that the karmi has a particular body and a particular facilities and possessions or activities. And the devotee, it may look except that's the same because mechanics are mechanics. You know, it's the same. You have a potato peeler. You know, the company makes potato peelers and they peel potatoes. Now, whether the devotee gets a hold or the karmi gets a hold, when they work, they peel potatoes. But the karmi is peeling for his own satisfaction. And the devotee is appealing for Krishna's satisfaction. So therefore, one can't make the mistake based on the externals. Oh, he has this, so he's a gross materialist. Like we saw Ramachandra Puri was making this mistake. Yeah. 3:4, 195, 197. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Krishna somehow or other manifested these itching sores on the body of Sanatana Goswami and sent him here to test me. If I had hated Sanatana Goswami and had not embraced him, I would certainly have been chastised for offenses to Krishna. Sanatana Goswami is one of the associates of Krishna. There could not be any bad odor from his body. On the first day I embraced him, I smelled the aroma of chatushama, a mixture of sandalwood pulp, camphor, agarul, and musk. Srila Prabhupada. An associate of the Lord is one whose body is fully engaged in the service of the Lord. Materialists might see Sanatana Goswami's body as being full of itching sores that exuded foul moisture and bad smell. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, said that actually the aroma of his body was the excellent scent of a mixture of sandalwood pulp, camphor, musk, and agarul. In the Garuda Purana, this mixture, which is called chatusama, is described as follows. Kasturi, kaya, dvau, bhagau, chatvarash, chandanasya tu. Two parts of musk, four parts of sandalwood, three parts of agarul, or saffron and one part of camphor, when mixed together, form chatusama. The aroma of chatusama is very pleasing. It's also mentioned in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, I think in it says six, so but maybe in the sixth Vilas. But two parts musk, four parts sandalwood, three parts agaru or saffron, and one part of camphor. So it's a very considered a high grade mixture of gandha. So when one's mixing these things, then this before gandha or offering scents, then they would all be based around sandalwood. So then this would be a very famous particular one. It mentioned, where was it? Garuda Puran. Yeah, Garuda Purana gives this formula. Okay, so then we'll continue tomorrow. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.